I'll be reading today's passage from the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 1 to 31. And please follow along with me. I'll be reading from the version that is found in your bulletin. And I ask that you follow along, not just reading the words with your eyes, but I ask that you would listen with your heart as well, to the heart of the words that the author had penned. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official on the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. And from there we sailed and arrived at Rhegium. The next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. And there we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders, and when they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and had it handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." And they replied, "We've not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that the people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
As you know, this is our last chapter in the book of Acts. We will be finished with it. We started September 2013, and we're here now in November 2014 after many months of going through this passage. And by the way, just before we start, when the PHP cooks came up, I thought we were going to get some food tasting. Maybe afterwards at a table? Okay, all right. Instead of focusing on this passage verse by verse today, you know, as we finish off with the book of Acts, I'd like us to actually focus on a theme that actually runs through the entire book of Acts. In regards to the characters that we have met along the way, the characters of the people, whether it be in the life of Peter or John, whether it be in the life of Stephen or Philip, whether it be in the life of Barnabas or Timothy and Silas, Priscilla and Aquila, Apollos, Paul, or even Luke, the writer of Acts. What was common to all of them? What distinguishing feature did they have in all of them as they became real followers of Jesus Christ? So the Lord be with you. And so, Lord Jesus, we do come before you this morning and ask, O Lord God, that you would come and prepare our hearts for the message that your Spirit may want to speak to each one of our hearts here this morning. Lord, we thank you for how you have helped us to journey through this book of Acts in the last year and a couple months. And we continue to pray, O Lord God, that what took place back in the early church thousands of years ago will continue, O Lord Jesus, to have an impact on our lives today and on our church today. Spirit of God, we welcome you here in our midst as our hearts are attentive to you and our minds and our wills are desiring to do your purposes. We thank you, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Freedom. Freedom. There's something in this word that rings true in our world, that resonates with most of us. You know, all through our lives, we've been trying to attain this, haven't we? When we're toddlers and we want to be independent of our parents, the first word we utter after the words mama and dada is usually the word what? No. No, mama. No, dada. Why is that? Where do we get this from? Who teaches it to us? We can see this when we become teenagers and we can't seem to leave home fast enough. You know, what is to get our driver's license so that we can start driving to places on our own, or to move out and get our own pad? Do people still say that anymore? Get our own pad, get our own digs, get our own lift, our own apartment, our condos. You know, anyways, well, at least this is true of my generation. Nowadays, it's hard to get our kids to leave home. But who can blame them, right, with the high cost of housing in Vancouver? But for the most part, I think children do want to leave home one day, I hope. And I think it's good. I think it's healthy. I think it's all part of growing up, becoming an adult, graduating, getting a job, making money, getting married, having children, raising our family, having a career. But then when we are an adult and we've worked hard for most of our lives, getting ourselves out of debt or having planned for our future, we can't wait until we retire, right? That word retirement or freedom 55 looks very good to us. And so we start planning for it years in advance. What would you do with your retirement? What would I do with my retirement, with my freedom fish all day, every day? What would you do with yours? Go golfing? Go on a continuous vacation? Go to dim sum every day? Then there's that whole empty nesters thing, wanting to be free of our kids. But rather, wanting grandchildren instead. Now, this is what most of us parents, children, this is what most of us parents secretly want. We look forward to being free of our children, the responsibility of looking after them, providing for their needs, making sure they're raised properly, but having the luxury of playing with and spoiling other people's children. That's total freedom, isn't it? From the very onset of our lives, we wanted to become independent, to become free, to do what we want. Freedom is something that we all long for, isn't it? But the Apostle Paul, throughout most of his writings in the New Testament, talks about something else. He talks about being a prisoner. He talks about being an ambassador in chains. That whole notion of being a prisoner, of being confined and chained, losing our freedom, losing our liberty, is not what we want in our lives, is it? But you know, sometimes, without knowing it, we have become prisoners. We've become prisoners of our own desires, prisoners of our wealth, of our possessions, prisoners of our jobs, of our careers, prisoners of our entertainment, our leisure, our hobbies, our free time, prisoners to other people's opinions about us, prisoners of the past, prisoners of the moment. Chip Brogdon writes this. He says, there's a freedom that's really not freedom at all. It's a kind of disguised bondage. Many will say that they're free, when in reality, true freedom is not the ability to do as I please, but to be free from doing as I please. For when I do as I please and I follow my own will, my own ways, most of the time, it will just lead me to more bondage. But on the other hand, there's a bondage that's really not bondage at all. It is a kind of disguised freedom, he says. You know, this is what Paul was talking about. This is what he was talking about when he said to the Christians in Philippi. He said in Philippians 1, verses 12 to 13, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me," what has happened to me? Paul was referring to his imprisonment in Rome in Acts 28. "What has happened to me," Paul says, "has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." You see, in our passage today, in Acts 28, Paul was a prisoner. Not of the Jews, not of Rome, not of the world, but of the Lord. He was a prisoner of the Lord. He was under house arrest, according to verse 30. It says, "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him." Now, this isn't a description of how Paul just spent all his time in his PJs at home, okay? He was under guard. He was confined to his home. But he did not let this get him down. He did not let this stop him from doing what he's called to do. Rather, he turned this opposition into opportunity. It was because Paul was a prisoner that he had a chance to speak to Jesus, speak about Jesus to all the guards that were chained to him. Paul was probably chained in these 2 years, 24/7, to a guard, switched every 4 hours. Imagine the number of people he had a chance to speak about the Lord Jesus to. It says the whole palace guard heard that I am in chains for Christ. It was because Paul was a prisoner that he could speak to and address Caesar. You know, after these 2 years in prison in Rome, in approximately 62 AD, Paul did that. He had a chance to address Caesar and to speak to Caesar about the Lord Jesus. Paul used these confining circumstances in his life, and he made the most of it. What confining circumstances do you find yourself in these days? What has happened to you? Has what's happened to you really served to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, you may have experienced some unexpected things in recent days that may have brought limitations upon your life in some way, whether it be a health situation, whether it be an employment situation, a financial situation, a school or educational situation, a family situation. You know, sometimes Christian moms may feel confined. If they're looking after a couple of young children at home and they can't get out much anymore, they can't serve in the church in the way that they used to in the same capacity. But the truth is, there's great opportunity for them. And just to get together with other moms while their children are playing together. You know, if this is viewed in a positive way, it can be a liberating experience to share Christ with other moms in a very natural, very real setting. And just by being yourself, moms, just by being yourself, allowing your relationship with God to come through in your speech, in the way you view life, in your struggles, and in your victories of life. Were Paul's years in prison, or when he was under house arrest, wasted years? Some people may say yes. Paul could have done so much more to advance the gospel. He could have gone on a fourth missionary trip, a fifth missionary trip, a sixth missionary trip during this time. He could have visited and strengthened other churches. He could have done this or that. But I truly believe that God's purposes for Paul were accomplished in his life, especially during these years. His four prison letters, as they're referred to, the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Philippians, the letter to the Colossians, and the letter to Philemon, are extremely special to the church. I imagine that during these times, he probably had more time on his hands, more time to reflect, more time to pray, more time to allow his prison experience to also form his thinking and his theology. You know, during these times, Paul was facing trial and possibly even death. But he knew where his destiny lay. It was not in the hands of Caesar, the king of the world, but it was in the hands of Jesus Christ, the king of the universe. It is in these prison letters that the supreme sovereignty of God, the lordship of Jesus Christ, is most evident in Paul's writing. John Stott said this. He said, was it not through his very confinement that Paul's eyes were opened to see the victory of Christ and the fullness of life, power, and freedom which is given to those who belong to Christ? Paul's perspective was adjusted, his horizon extended, his vision clarified, and his witness enriched by his prison experience. So although Paul's hands were bound, his mouth and his speech were not. Although he was chained, the word of God was not. It went out with all boldness and without hindrance, it says in verse 31. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. As a result of Paul's imprisonment, his ministry was expanded and it was enriched. It was authenticated through his suffering. And that's why I'm so encouraged. I am so encouraged by people like Philip and Shanta, who although he's been battling with cancer for about 2-3 years now, they made the most of every opportunity to share the goodness of God, to share the graciousness of God in their lives. And they've let this be known to the medical staff, the oncologists, those who are seeing them on a regular basis. One day, I hope that they can share their testimony with us here in church. That's why I'm also very encouraged by people like Cliff and Libby, as they share so openly about Cliff's health, about their struggles as a family still. But they continue to trust in the sovereignty of God with all boldness and without hindrance. That's why I'm so encouraged by many of you who, though you go through very difficult times in your life, you know where your faith lies. And others are able to see that your faith lies in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of his resurrection. The Lord can turn tragedies into triumphs. He can turn sickness into success. It's when we are deprived of something that God is able to turn things into his glory. John Stott said this as well. He said, "The acts of the apostles have long ago finished, but the acts of the followers of Jesus will continue until the end of the world, and their words will spread to the ends of the earth." This is God's will for us. The best-selling book, the best-selling Christian book in history, other than the Bible, is the book called Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. It was published in 1678. Bunyan spent 12 years in prison for violating an act which prohibited the holding of religious services outside the auspices of the established Church of England. While in prison, he went through great times, times of great discouragement. But he took the opportunity to write books as well. And one of the books that he wrote while in prison was Pilgrim's Progress. Not only did he write books, but he spent time corresponding with people who read his books and who wanted counsel as a result of that. He conducted worship services in prison and influenced many as he made the most of his situation. Brothers and sisters, God can use these perceived times of inactivity, of confinement in our lives to do his greatest work to those who will obey him. What may you be going through right now in which you feel like you are in some sort of prison? Paul was a prisoner of the Lord. John Bunyan was a prisoner of the Lord. How has the Lord called you to be a prisoner for him? And what does it mean, really, to be a prisoner of the Lord anyways? Well, it means that we're not our own anymore. We're bought at a price. We do not belong to the world, but we belong to the Lord. As a prisoner of the Lord, we offer up our rights. We offer up our entitlement. We relinquish our independent ways, and we surrender our will to his will. We pick up our cross daily, and we follow him. In essence, what it means to be the prisoner of the Lord is that it means that we are bound to Jesus Christ. In the simplest terms, that's how I can put it. We're bound to Christ. Instead of being bound to a guard, we're bound to a God. What is your view of Jesus? Who is he to you? If Jesus is someone who's died on the cross, who's paid the ultimate price for our sins, you will bind yourself to him. If you view Jesus as the lover of your soul and the author and perfecter of your faith, you will bind yourself to him. If you have seen him calm the storm and you've watched how he has stilled even the wind and the waves, you will bind yourself to him. If you have tasted his goodness and you've sensed his holy presence in your life, and you've experienced his justice and his righteousness, you will bind yourself to him. Imagine someone that has a pure love for you than your siblings, your brothers and sisters. Imagine that someone that has a pure love for you than your mom and dad. Imagine someone that has a pure love for you than your spouse, someone you've been married to for 20, 30, 40 years. Imagine that person can do whatever it takes for you to live the life that God wants you to live, for you to live the life that you were meant to live. Wouldn't you bind yourself to that person? Someone said this. They said, "For it is in our bondage to the Lord that we will find true freedom. It is in our weakness that we will find true strength. It is in our foolishness, according to the world, that we will find true wisdom. It is in our poverty that we will find true prosperity. It is by losing everything that we find everything. It is by giving up all things that we will inherit all things. It is by laying down our lives that we will find the true life of God, an everlasting and resurrection life." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus still speaks these words to us today as he spoke in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But you say, "I don't know how to share or what to say to people. I'm not good with words. I'm not good with articulating my faith." And Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus said to his disciples, Jesus said to the early church, and Jesus said to all of us here today, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always till the very end of the age." As we've gone through the book of Acts, the three main themes that come through the book of Acts is that salvation is given first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. That in order for us to go forth and be witnesses for the Lord, we need to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, that the sovereignty of God will not be stopped. That the will of God and the purpose of God will not be stopped. It will carry through. But the theme that I see running through the lives of each of the people throughout the book of Acts is this one thing: that they were all prisoners of the Lord. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church, said that, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you, Fraser Lands, to live a life worthy of the calling that each of you have received. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, all we can really do at a time like this is to offer our thanksgiving and our praise to you. We want to thank you, Lord God, we want to thank you for the many who've gone before us. We thank you, God, for their desire to set their eyes upon you, Lord Jesus, and to live a life that is obedient unto your call unto them. We thank you, God, that we have been encouraged all these months by many, many disciples of Christ who gave their all in following after you. We are humbled by their example. We are encouraged by their faith. And we pray, O Lord God, that you will be with your people here today, even as we come before you, that we would recognize that in you we can do all things, that in you, O Lord God, your purposes will be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Father, come, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, empower us, encourage us, help us to gaze into our Lord Jesus Christ and see him for who he is. And I know, Lord God, as a result of that, we will not in any way mind being bound to him for the rest of our lives. We thank you, God. Come, we pray by your Holy Spirit. May we respond to you. Stand together, respond to the Lord.